I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome once again to The Holy Spirit Is With You. It's good to be back here with you and this Thursday. I would ask Father when he closes the program today to remember my nephew, John McCarthy, who passed away, and I just literally came from the funeral to here today. So I ask you to please remember him in all of your prayers and for the family he left behind. We know, as I said to his wife and children, the next time they see him, it will be forever, and that's the beauty of our Catholic faith. I have a very special friend on the air today, as well as a beautiful holy priest, and that is Father Matt Guckin. So are you there, Matt, Father?
Hi, Kathleen. I am. Yeah.
Good.
Kathleen, I'm sorry to hear about your nephew. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yep, I think that's the beauty of our faith. Unexpected, very unexpected, but we know that life doesn't end, right? It just still continues, and that's the beauty that we know we'll all be together one day soon. And St. Augustine.
How about if we begin, Kathleen, by praying together as the angel Gabriel taught us to pray, okay?
Sure.
Pray for your nephew, pray for you and your whole family, your beautiful family. Let's pray together, all right?
All right.
Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord
is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. It's good to have you on. I have to tell you that the last time you were on, everybody we had great comments. Everybody loved the program we did together. Some really cute comments came in about it. And so we're delighted to have you back. We did tell the people that when you came back from your pilgrimage, we would set up a time, and the snowstorm sort of had other plans for last week, but we're we're happy to accomplished it this week. So, how long was your trip exactly?
About 2 weeks. We left on January the 11th out of people came from all over the world.
Yeah.
A large contingent left out of Newark on January the 11th. And then flew directly to Tel Aviv. It was odd. It was a 1 o'clock in the afternoon flight on El Al. So there were a lot of us, probably about 40 of us on that flight, but a lot of Orthodox Jews who all knew one another. So the flight across, which is about 13 hours, it was like Grand Central Station. I couldn't get to sleep. So when we finally landed, we arrived around 6 the next day or 6:30, we were dragging our tails through Tel Aviv, just trying to stay awake. But you know what? We kept coming back to the mantra that we're not tourists, we're pilgrims.
That's right.
And there's a big difference. You know, tourists just sort of go from one experience to the next, but pilgrims, which all of us are here on this earth,
right.
Pilgrims are able to sense God's presence through it all. And so even in our fatigue, I think we experience God's presence. So it was great. It was a great trip, Kathleen. We had a great trip. As I mentioned the last time I was on, it was the third time that I was blessed to be there. Mm-hmm. This time is a little bit better, though. For me, it had a bigger effect on me just because of the community that we were with. I think I was more aware of the power of the community.
Wow.
And the community was sort of a makeshift community. There were a number of people who I've known through various assignments who joined in from Downingtown and Exton and Media and Philadelphia, a couple I know from Atlanta, Georgia. They were I knew them from one assignment I had. They flew over, but for the most part, it was people from all over the world. We had people from as far away as Japan and the Philippines and Australia. People from Venezuela and Argentina were there. People from the West Coast, the Midwest, Northeast. It was great. You know what it was? It was the church.
Yeah.
People from all walks of life, just walking in the footsteps of Christ. So it was a great experience. And
I would imagine. I can't even imagine. I mean, the closest I've got to the Holy Land is a virtual pilgrimage through pictures. But I would imagine, as I said before, to walk in the footsteps that Jesus himself walked in, the whole Bible has, and I love, as you know, I love the Word of God, but I would imagine if I went to the Holy Land, it would probably be overwhelmed the first time, there'd be so much, mm-hmm. and I would imagine that the Bible comes so alive. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, this is where he did this. I mean, that's how it must be, right?
It is, and you know what? It's the gift that keeps giving. Mm. Yesterday, celebrating Mass, if you recall, the scripture was from, it was Jesus curing a blind man at the pool of Bethsaida.
Oh, yes.
And I began my homily saying, hey, this is pretty cool. I was just there. Everyone just burst out laughing.
There you go.
But really, now I can say that every day. You know, I was like, wow. But as I was proclaiming the gospel yesterday at Mass, I just had this vivid memory in mind that, wow, I know exactly where this is. And you know what's neat? It's some people have referred to the geography of the Holy Land as the fifth gospel. Because you really do get a sense of, distance. You get a sense of the topography. So Jesus must have been jacked.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, there I am going up, Mount Tabor, where the Transfiguration took place, in a taxi. And the taxi is struggling to get to the top. Well, there wasn't any taxi.
That's right.
Jesus, you know, like, he took Peter, James, and John to the top of that. You know, he must have been in really good shape. Even not only Jesus, but we went to Ein Karim, you know, where the visitation took place. And that's a little bit of a hike. So the pregnant Mary must have been in great shape as well, just getting to the top of the mountain in the Judean hill country. So you just get a sense of proportion, and with the topography, you get a much better sense. If I could just say this, one little story here is where Jesus named Simon, where he gave him the name Peter and thereby made him his vicar on earth,
right.
Pope, that takes place in a little village called Caesarea Philippi. Now, when you read the gospel, it's like, okay, he takes people to Caesarea Philippi. What's big whoop-de-doo, you know?
Right.
it's way out of the way. Jesus is doing his work in the Sea of Galilee area, especially Capernaum. Then all of a sudden, he's transported to Caesarea Philippi. It's way out of the way. It's as if Jesus was taking his apostles on a retreat, and he takes them, and Caesarea Philippi was a place, and the early disciples would have known this, was a place where pagan worship of the pagan god Pan took place. So he takes them out of the way, and there is a 35-foot-high piece of rock. And that's where Jesus says to the apostles, who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, other Elijah, or still others one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And it's Peter who confesses the faith of all true believers. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's where Jesus says, you are the rock upon which I will build my church. He calls him Cephas, which means rock, but he's doing it at the base of a 35-foot rock where the pagan god Pan had been worshipped. And you know what, Kathleen? I think it's the only contribution I've made to the tradition of our rich Catholic faith. I raised my hand and I said, can we call this Peter Pan?
You are so funny.
I found out when I got home somebody else had already made that contribution. But it's just really neat. When you understand the geography there, you get a better sense of, okay, well, this is like Jesus taking his apostles on a retreat. It would be like you doing your work in the Philadelphia area, and then all of a sudden you're with your family in Quakertown.
Yeah.
You know, you and I understand that, but someone not familiar with the geography wouldn't understand. So you'd get a better sense of what's going on here just simply by knowing the geography. It's great stuff.
And I would imagine when you have the whole tomography in front of you, when you go from place to place and distance to distance, you get it also, just like you said, when he took his apostles to where the pagan mm-hmm. god was, to that rock where Peter declares the God, when he declares Jesus as the Son of God. Mm-hmm. All the other areas, all the other beautiful images that you got to see, all the parts of the Holy Land, I would think, aside from, he had to be Jack for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But
yeah.
All the, not only Jesus, but like you said, Our Lady going from there. I mean, the men, the apostles, the women that followed them to help take care of them, they all must have been, obviously it was just a way of life for them. They knew no other way. But to travel the places that they've traveled to bring the message of this new way, if you will, to bring the message to others. They went far and far away to bring the message. When you think about Jesus sending them out, he literally sent them out, didn't he?
Indeed. As a matter of fact, we began our pilgrimage. You know, the first day we just got oriented to the time change and everything. But we actually began in a town, a coastal town, right on the coast of the Mediterranean, just north of Tel Aviv, the town of Caesarea Maritima. By the way, notice how these towns are called Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
Caesarea Maritima. It was Herod who built these cities, and it was his way of brown-nosing to Caesar in Rome. Just name them Caesarea, name them after Caesar.
Right.
Just a way to pretend, you know, you see the political ways of politicians, they haven't changed. But anyway, we began right on Caesarea Maritima, and it's there that Paul spent 2 years in a cistern. Could you get your mind around that? In a cistern prison.
Oh, my goodness.
Before what? Before he gets sent out to Rome to experience his trial and ultimately his execution. So, yeah, I mean, we began our trip in Caesarea Maritima, where Paul was in prison before he was sent out.
Right.
And we ended our trip in the town, again, a coastal town, just south of Caesarea Maritima, called Jaffa. You might remember Jaffa oranges.
Yep.
When we were kids. Jaffa was the town Peter was stationed before he was sent out on his mission. So, yeah, I mean, these folks definitely had a sense of being sent.
Hmm.
And hopefully that trickles down to us, you know, that we're sent to our families. Like today, you're sent to your nephew's funeral.
Right.
Or, you know, here I am being sent out to the airwaves.
That's right.
You know, all doing the same thing to proclaim the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Tell me what it was like to walk along the path that Jesus took to Golgotha. Did you go there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, a couple of times. We had we spent several days in Jerusalem. So the first few days we spent in the Sea of Galilee area.
Oh.
Then we shifted for the rest of the time in Jerusalem. There was one day, our last Sunday there, we actually did the Way of the Cross. And it's, you know, Kathleen, that's the third time I've done that. And I cry every time,
I would imagine.
Thinking like, wow, this is the, and you can imagine the effect that it has on the people. And everyone takes turns actually carrying a cross. As we go from station to station. And one of the amazing things about it is, first of all, Sunday is a work day in Israel.
Oh, really?
Right? Our Sabbath is Sunday. But
there's
theirs
a Saturday.
So everyone's working, and they're in the shops. You know, the merchants are selling their wares and so on and so forth. So we're walking around them. There's cars going by you in these little streets. We're walking around them. And you're going from place to place. And we were blessed in our group. We had four buses. But in our group, we had a young woman by the name of Kara Klein, who is a Catholic musician. So she led our group in song, like the Stabat Mater,
mm-hmm.
Were You There, Jesus Remember Me, those sort of things. So it just adds to the emotion of the moment.
Oh, I'd have been crying.
There were little prayers that we read at each station that different people read in our group. So it was just a great, great experience.
Does it take your, now you say three times you've already, this is your third time there.
Third time. Yeah, I'm planning to go back.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Just, you know, with Jeff Cavins, Jeff and I are friends. And,
yeah.
I just spoke with him saying, you know, I'd like to go rather than every 3 years, every 2 years. And he's definitely open to that. So
good.
It was a very good use of my time. Now, some friends of mine have busted my chops a little bit. Like, it must be nice that you're doing, you know, and it is. It is nice.
Right.
But it's again, we're not, when we do this, we're not tourists.
That's
we're
right.
Pilgrims.
That's right.
And we're enduring all the ups and downs of life as a pilgrim, which is the life of a disciple.
That's right. You know? And I guess that walking, all the walking that you do, of course, when you went up to the mount, you were on a taxi. But for the main part, I guess you walked so much.
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, you know, we're on a bus, so we're driving from Jerusalem to Jericho, you know, whereas Jesus would have walked.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I said in one of my homilies, it's no wonder why Jesus had six-pack abs and I'm stuck here with a party ball. it's just physically a grind. And not to mention it's a very, especially in the south, what we would call Judea, a very arid climate.
Hmm.
You know, so it's dry. That Judean wilderness where John the Baptist would have been.
Right.
You know, it's like windswept and dry. And we're there in January. In the summertime, it just must be horribly hot. It's way below sea level. And so, I mean, it takes a toll. These had to be rugged people
yeah.
to endure these. And it's not like they get to go to a nice hotel or kibbutz.
Right.
Having all kinds of food like hummus and, what do we have, fish and beef. These are folks who are, they're not eating a whole lot.
Right.
There's not nice salads. So, we're just so blessed, aren't we, Kathleen?
Really, Father.
We're just so, so blessed.
And you know, when you say that you've been there the three times, I would imagine each time, I would think anyway, each time you'd grasp, maybe is the word, which is really a term for mission, but that you would grasp a deeper understanding of Jesus living at that time, walking out to fulfill his mission. I would imagine each time brought you to a deeper understanding. Hey, this is, I'm on a bus here and I'm riding for an hour and he walked this. I would imagine you would, and all the different sites that you go to after three times.
I really had a sense of that, Kathleen, this time at Bethlehem. When I knelt down and put my hand in the very spot where Christ was born, the reality, for whatever reason, the reality hit me more this time. Like, wow, this isn't just a holiday that we celebrate. This is where God, the creator of the canopy of stars, this is where he was born, and the reality of it hit me there,
I know my grandsons went, my granddaughters and my grandsons, for a semester, they go to Franciscan University. And before they went to Austria, they went to Israel. And, just what they had shared and just where Jesus was held captive. And there was a picture. It was just a picture, Father, they sent. And they put their hands through those iron things that held the Lord. And I cried looking at it. It brought the reality of this is really what he went through. I'm not just reading it. This is a picture of it. So I can't imagine what one feels to walk that walk, because he's somebody who really did live what he said what he meant what he said, and he lived it out. I can't even imagine on a picture of that with my grandson in those chains. I cried because I could picture Jesus there all alone. I can't imagine what it would be there to walk and be there for almost 2 weeks. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that particular place is underneath the church called St. Peter Gallicantu. St. Peter in Tears, and it's at the house of Caiaphas. It's in the prison is below the house.
Yeah.
That's where Christ was held. And I agree with you. The sense, you get a sense of Christ suffering. You get the whole picture with Christ. When we're in Nazareth, you get this, just because you're there, wow, this is where Mary said yes. She gave her consent. You're in Bethlehem. Wow, this is where God was born. Mm. You're in Ein Karim. Wow, this is where Mary and Elizabeth rejoiced, and John the Baptist does a backflip in the womb of Elizabeth. And then you're at the steps where Christ and Pilate stood eye to eye. You're at the prison where Christ was held, beneath Caiaphas' house.
Yeah.
You're walking the way of the cross. I'm getting a little emotional now.
Right.
You're walking the way of the cross. You're at the empty tomb. By the way, I want to report to anyone who's listening, I've now been to the tomb, and I can honestly say it's empty.
Praise
God. He is risen indeed.
Indeed.
So you're at all these places, and... you know what it does? It just, it invites you to go deeper into your faith. Mm. And I there were three other priests who were with me. One was a Philadelphia priest, Father Anthony DiGuglielmo. And I think it may have been him in talking about suffering. It was one of the priests, and it wasn't me.
Right.
He who said, you know, we have to answer the question, like, well, why does God allow suffering? And a great, and you know, we can go in a bazillion different directions with this. Theologians and philosophers have spent a lot of ink on writing about this, but an answer that the one priest gave is because it allows us to realize how much God loves us. Like, he suffered for us, and so when we suffer, we get a glimpse of his love for us.
That's right.
Right? And I would imagine, you know, you being a mom and a grandmom, but especially being a mom, I'm sure you suffered a lot. You know,
right.
Oh, gosh, I know I put my mom through the ringer.
We won't
you
talk.
Get an, you get an idea of maybe more so than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Of what true love is all about, that you suffer and you love anyway, and actually you're loving through the suffering. Yeah, well, that's what God does with us.
That's beautiful, yeah, and it's so true. We have a caller on the line, but we're up next to the hour, so I'm going to bring him on. He'll ask his question, and then we'll take a break and come back. So, Chris, let me get Chris on the line.
All right.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Father Matt, was there any security issues or concerns?
Hi, Chris. How you doing? Good question. Lots of security. Their standards, Chris, of security are much different than ours. It's weird. Like, you get off, when you get off the plane coming back in Newark, America is so sanitized, and I don't mean that in a critical way. You get off the plane in Tel Aviv, there's guys with AK-40s and girls, women with AK-47s, you know, looking all over the place. So I felt very safe, you know, the whole time I was there. I've spent now 6 weeks of my life in Israel, and I've never felt threatened.
Never.
You know, the only time I felt threatened was when I took some of the lasagna off of Father Chris Walsh's plate.
Was Chris with
a
you?
A little threatened by that, but that's about it.
Chris went with you on that trip?
No, he went with me the first two times.
Oh.
I went with him. He was the chief shepherd there. This time tried to fill his shoes.
Very good.
No, I don't mean to be funny about it. I mean, it's a very serious question. And, they have plenty of security. I'll be honest with you. I live in Center City, Philadelphia now, and I feel more threatened when I wander off into certain areas in Philadelphia than I felt in anywhere I was in Israel.
Wow. Hey, Chris, are you a first-time caller?
I am.
I'm going to have you hold on the line. I'm going to send you a little gift for being a first-time caller.
Why, thank you.
All right. God bless you, and great question, by the way. All right. Don't hang up now.
Okay.
All right. I'll have somebody pick that up. And rather than try to take a call or anything right now, I just want to say that I have Father Matt Guckin on the line, and we're blessed to have him. He's talking about where he, third time now, has gone to the Holy Land, where Jesus walked, lived, died, rose from the dead, and he said he was there, he knows it, his tomb is empty, and because his tomb is empty, our tomb will be empty too. And that is
Amen. That
is the good news that we bring to you today. Father, we have about 2 minutes before we hit our break. Do you would you like to share maybe one of the most profound moments before we go to break, a profound moment, and then we could go back and maybe talk about it, that really touched, like, wow, you know, I always say without words, W-O-W, wow, a wow moment while you were there. Not that the whole experience wasn't a wow, but was there one specific moment that really was a wow moment for you? Oops, got to go. I'll give you a moment to think about that. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Holy Spirit Is With You. My guest today is the incomparable Father Matt Guckin. We'll be right back.
This is Mike Balmazy of Villa Joseph Marie High School. I've been a listener to Kathleen McCarthy and her radio station in his sign ministry for years, and I can never say enough good things about Kathleen. Her insightfulness, her dedication to the church, her love of the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful way she expresses herself as a daughter of the church and as a daughter of Mary deserves to be listened to, deserves to be praised. And I can't encourage you more than to do what you can for New Side Ministry. God bless.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to The Holy Spirit Is With You. And I just want to share with you, before I get back to Father Matt, that we are celebrating our 40th anniversary of Catholic radio here. For 40 years, Dominic had a dream, and the Lord moved in his heart, and he stepped out in faith when there really weren't any Catholic radio programs. And there is a beautiful opportunity for you to stay in lockstep with us and support In His Sign Catholic Radio, because it is our 40th anniversary. We will be celebrating it on Sunday, April 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30. It's our normal Wake Up America dinner that we do each year. We've moved it to April. And this first year is our April spot, and it happens to be our 40th anniversary. So please come on out to Malvern Retreat House. It's $55 per person. And again, this is our fundraiser. It's $400 for a table of eight. So I'm sure you know seven friends today that you could call up and you get a break. It's only $50. So when you look at it that way, if you're going to go out to dinner, you're going to spend $50 for your entire meal and the whole afternoon. You have a fantastic meal. You're on holy ground. That's why I moved these when I came to be president of In His Sign. I moved all of our dates to Malvern Retreat House because it is holy ground. So please give us a call. You can only come with a ticket. No one will be admitted without, and we have to have a cutoff because we get to pack it up, and we want to fill the house again this year, particularly because it is our anniversary. So call us at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Make your reservation now, that way and you don't have to think about it. And if you get busy, it'll be done. The other thing is, when you're all the reservations for tables of eight, they will be reserved. Everyone else will be, as you order, that's how you'll get it. But tables are eight will be reserved for you. So come on out, join us for our 40 years of Catholic radio. We'll be blessed to have you, and I can only say it again, you'll be on holy ground. You can go right to our website and www.inhissign.com. You can download a form right from our event site, or you can call and make your reservations right over the phone. Everything will come through In His Sign. So we make up the tickets, we send them out. So please, again, don't get shut out. It's happened a couple years, but please order your reservations early for April 30th. With that, let me go back to Father Matt Guckin. We're blessed and honored to have him on the air again. I know he's a very busy priest, and he's a, let me just tell you this about Father. I've known Father for many, many years, and I can tell you the joy of the Lord radiates out of him. I know so many people and different parishes, schools, that have been touched by that joy. And I know if I would say to him, "Do you love being a priest?" Even in these trying times, in these last years, I would guarantee you that he would say there's nothing greater than to be a priest after the high priest's own heart. So, Father Matt Guckin, once again, welcome back.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks for your kind words, too.
Well, they're true words.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But you know what? I'm a sinner. Well,
amen. So, aren't we all?
I'm a sinner who has been looked at by the face of Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And that transformed me. I have to admit, I stole that.
You're always stealing things.
Yeah, there you go. I got to go back to confession. Earlier today.
You're so funny.
That's how a Jesuit would define himself. As a matter of fact, that's how Francis defined himself in his very first interview as Pope. The Italian interviewer asked, "Who is Jorge Bergoglio?"
I remember.
He paused and he gave that answer. That's how the Jesuits define who they are.
Yeah, we.
I think it's so simple.
It is.
I've stolen it.
Well, I know.
Thank you very much.
I'll never forget when he looked out over the square, and he looked nonplussed for a moment, like, "I can't believe this." And then when he looked out, the first thing he said was to pray for him. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah,
pray
that
for
is
me.
True.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well, let me tell you, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we're all sent. He's
yep.
got a motley
Amen.
Crew to work with.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Did you think about maybe one of those moments, one of those wow
yeah.
moments that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, at the western wall of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I took all the petitions that people had sent me and I put them into the wall. I was surrounded by Orthodox Jews who were praying in Hebrew. And I, was praying in, it's sometimes called the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
It's really a retaining wall. It's not the wall of the temple, but it's a retaining wall of the temple on the western side of the temple. So typically try to call it the western wall. But just praying there and hearing other people pray in a different language, I find it to be very soothing. Hmm. I don't have, Kathleen, the gift of tongues, but when I hear people pray in tongues, I do find it very comforting.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I don't pray like that. But when I hear it, I'm surrounded by it. I actually do like it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. You know?
I would imagine.
People around me praying to the same God.
To the same God. Oh. Amen. Did you have a
God
sense?
God of Abraham, the God of Isaac,
and the God of Jacob. The God of the living, not of the dead.
Amen. Preach it, sister.
That's what my sons say to me. Listen, Father, I wanted to ask you with this, did you have a sense? I know personally when I traveled, when I went to Fatima to speak, and when I went to Venezuela to speak in the cathedral, I had a sense like never before when I go overseas or wherever I go, I have a sense that overwhelms me with the universality of the church.
I sense that just with our pilgrims themselves. We had old people, mm-hmm. we had young people, we had middle-aged people. We had people who were very wealthy and people who don't have that kind of wealth. We had people from Downingtown, Pennsylvania, and we had people from Nagasaki, Japan.
Wow.
So you get a sense of the church. We had people like myself who have a full head of hair, people like my brother who are completely bald. We had people from, who run the gamut. So, but all had one thing in common. All were trying to follow Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
That's amazing.
Or discover Christ.
Yeah.
Or share Christ. So we had, you know, people of all walks of life. So you get a sense of the whole church there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give out our phone number in case you'd like to call in. Perhaps you've been to the Holy Land. Maybe you've had a pilgrimage. Maybe you'd like to ask Father Matt something that you're curious about, the Holy Land. He's here. He's been there 3 times now. 3's the number. Give us a call, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-34-FAITH. 1-888-343-2484. And we'd like to hear from you. I know Father Matt would love to hear from you, so give us a call. We'd like to be able to answer your question if you have one, or just to say hello. So once again, you're listening to The Holy Spirit Is With You. This is our Thursday program. We only have about 16 minutes left. So if you want to make that call, you can do it right now. And Father, what else would you like to share with us? There goes the phone as soon as I gave it out. What else would you like to share from a priest's perspective? I mean, it must have been to say Mass where Jesus was, where he was born, where he lived, to say Mass, maybe at the Holy Sepulchre. I don't know where you said it, but that had to be a very emotional thing as a priest that only you could share in that nobody else could, but through you sharing that, you sang Mass as a priest would have to be very emotional, I would think. Are you there, Father? Father Matt? Well, I guess we lost Father Matt. Well, we have his brother on the line, so John, hello? Hello, John? I don't know. We don't have Matt. We don't have his brother. Let me try this again. Hello? Hello? Oh, well, I don't know what happened to all of them, but it's probably Father Matt calling back in now. Somehow we got disconnected, and but we have, I have no idea what happened to Father. Matt, please call back in. Here he comes. It's all I have to say. This is obviously a very powerful program, talking about where Jesus walked, talked, performed his miracles. So I don't know what happened to these. Not only did Father Matt, did we lose Father Matt, we lost his brother John. Oh, maybe he's back on now. John.
Yes.
What the heck happened to your brother?
We don't know. Hey, I don't know.
You sound just like him.
Wouldn't it be funny if you put me on the ear? I'm his brother, by the way.
You sound exactly like him.
Wild. I just flew back in from Dallas, and the lady sitting next to me, I'm reading a book on Fatima, and I'm talking. She goes, "Were you with these other priests?" I said, "There's other priests here." And I look at her, a priest on my left, and I say, "Well, I'm my brother's priest." He goes, "Where? Who?" And I said, "Father Matt." And she goes, "You know Father Matt? I'm his brother." Here, she goes to Downing. He taught at Channing.
All right.
He taught this particular lady's children. It's a small world.
Very small world.
So, there you go.
Father Matt, are you back on?
No, but you have his brother John. It's weird.
I know you are. I'm going to see if Father Matt, are you back? Oh my gosh! I don't know what the problem is, but let me ask you.
Go ahead.
I happened to ask a question, and I don't know what happened. Somehow Matt got cut off. Father Matt. My question was for him as a priest. Mm-hmm. I would imagine one of the most emotionally moving moment would have to be as a priest saying Mass right there in the Holy Land where the Lord was born, where he played, when he walked, when he read the scriptures himself in the synagogue. I mean, as a priest, I would imagine that would be a very emotional time for him. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think we have your brother back on.
Should I hang up?
No. Matt, are you there? I guess not. I don't know why he can't get through. I see the line lit up. Oh, well. Tell me your experience.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tell me your experience.
Well, I never went to the Holy Land with my brother, Matt, but what experience? I have a lot of experiences with Matt, so you got to be more specific.
What was your experience when you knew? I knew him before he was ordained, too. What was your experience when he came home and told his family that he wants to be an ordained priest?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, he grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, went to St. Tim's and Father Judge. And, you know, our parents were very devout Catholics. Mom was just ecstatic. You know, the siblings, we were pretty young at the time. And, when Matt went to Penn State, then he went down and was working in D.C. and he got close with a fellow named Puck who was becoming a priest. And then he went to Mount St. Mary's, Emmitsburg. And it was overwhelming. It was, I don't know. It's, Matt's, he's like a rock star. He's evolved to a level where, you know, all the parish. I mean, when he was at St. Cecilian and he went out to the Malvern area, there was people traveling on a Sunday just to go to
his mass.
His masses on a Sunday. And it was just overwhelming. I'm just too close to him to really understand it all, but he is he's off the charts.
Well,
that helped.
I have to agree with you there. He is off the charts. Would you agree with me? I described him earlier on the air. I described him on the air as a priest that lives out his priesthood with great joy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sense that yourself?
Yes. This just happened to me with Matt. I just flew in from Dallas a couple hours ago. My way out on Monday, I'm reading a book about Fatima, and there was a lady to my right, and then she says, "Oh, I know you're reading Fatima." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Are you with these other priests on the?" I said, "What other priests?" To my left, there's two other priests. And they were from Scranton Diocese. They said, "Oh, my brother's a priest in Philly." And they said, "Well, who is it? Is it Matt Guckin?" And the lady sitting to my right goes, "You know Matt Guckin?" I said, "Yeah, he's my brother." And here he marries children in Shanahan. So talk about small world. And then she went on with these stories about how Matt was so effective in her personal life, all just because I had a book of Fatima I was reading.
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, well, I'm going to tell you what, John. First off, I thank you so much for calling in. It's been a crazy day. I don't know what's going on with these phones. And
probably not paying his cell phone bill.
you're as funny as he is. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send you a little something for calling in on this crazy day with the phones. All right? Don't hang up. But I'm going to have somebody pick up the phone and get your address. Hey, John, one day I hope we meet. Any brother of Matt's would be a friend of mine because he's a beautiful person. And I would imagine you're not too bad yourself.
I'm okay.
God bless you.
Ask my wife.
Okay, I'll ask her. All right. Good to talk with you, John, and thanks for calling in. I'm sure your brother's going to miss the fact that he got dropped somehow, and we can't get him back on the air. So maybe
I'm telling you.
So you're going to be picked up. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, I have no idea what just happened there. I have no idea where Father Matt is. Looking, what was that movie? Nemo? Finding Nemo? I'm going to be trying to find Father. Looking for Father Matt, trying to find him. We have only about a little over, about 9 minutes, 10 minutes left. And phone's ringing now. Maybe that's Father Matt. And well, I'll know in a moment whether it is him. Okay, here we try this one more time. Oh, Finding Nemo. Father Hello. Matt, hi.
Yeah, you know, I got cut off. I'm sorry, Kathleen. I missed the past 10 minutes. I couldn't.
Well, I had a great conversation with your brother, John.
My brother, you know what? He owes me $20.
You're so funny. He said you owed him $20. Listen. I don't know what happened. That poor guy hung on the phone and he said, "You're going to ask me a question." So I asked him, as your brother, what it felt like when you came home one day and announced to your family that you felt called to be a Catholic priest. I said, "I knew him before he got ordained, but you knew him all his life." When he came home and told everybody that he was praying about priesthood, and he gave me a good answer. Well, how was it for you? Was it a long trip to make that decision, Father? Father? Well. It must be his phone. We lost him again. Matt, I don't know what's happening today. Father, are you there? No. Well, I'll tell you, we have 5 minutes left. I apologize to all of you, our listeners. I have not a clue what's going on. I mean, thank God his brother called in and shared the story about when Father came home and told his family he wanted to be a priest. You know, for you and I, we're all sent by virtue of our baptism. But when a priest is called, only God can call him. No one else. No one else can, you know, make someone be a priest or put that in their heart. It's only God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his life circumstances, that moves in the heart of a priest to say yes. I would ask you in these last few moments, as I said, I don't know what happened to Father Matt. He's cut off again. But I'll tell you this. We are in need of prayer for our priest. You know, if I share something, or I, you know, give a retreat and I share something that really isn't right, well, those people take that grain of salt. I hope I never do that. But if a priest says something, a priest can take a whole parish with them. My point is this. We should pray for our priest. Pray for vocations, that God would raise up holy, holy priest. Because there's one person that's trying to destroy the priesthood. And we know who it is. It's the enemy. If we don't have the consecrated hands of the priest that only God can call, then we don't have Jesus present, mind, body, soul, and divinity in every tabernacle all over the world. So, my brothers and sisters, pray for your priest. Here, you're back on the line, Father.
Yeah.
I don't know what...
enough time to say goodbye.
I don't know.
Anyway, I keep missing who was on the line. I heard you say my brother was...
Your brother. Yeah. I asked him what it was like when you came home one day and announced. I said, I know him right before he was ordained, but you live with him all your life. What was it like to know that God had a special call on your brother's life? What was it like when he shared he wanted to be a Catholic priest? And he really did a beautiful job talking about it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. Well,
so
and you know the reason. I couldn't hold a job and I couldn't get a date. So
you're so funny.
This was...
I would imagine.
Now I could hold a job.
Yeah, right. I bet saying as a priest, that's what I was asking you when you got cut off. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But
I know it's, time is short, but you know what? Anybody who really knows me, I'm just a normal person. And
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
Christ called, you know, when Christ called the apostles, there's a beautiful story within the story, and that is the rabbis, when they would gather young men around them, would pick certain people who the rabbi thought could take his place. But the others, he would just sort of reject, and they could go do what their fathers did. When Christ calls Peter and Andrew and James and John to come follow him, those were the ones who were rejected by the rabbis. So in other words, Christ calls rejects.
Wow.
I put myself at the top of that list. I mean, that's who Christ calls to truth. He doesn't call the wisest. He doesn't call the most skilled. He calls the ones who have been rejected by the world. And I put myself in that class of people, but nonetheless very proud to be doing the most important work on earth.
Amen, Father. Well, you know what? That getting disconnected just brings you back on again, because you got a lot more to share with our people.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're going to ask...
I can talk a lot, as you know.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. Right now, I'm going to be bringing your compadre on, Father Chifo, and Monsignor Chifo and Monsignor Marino will be on in a moment.
Wow.
So please.
A couple of giants right there.
Hey.
Those are good men.
They are indeed.
I lived with Chifo for a year.
I know you did.
He's a great guy.
He is.
And Monsignor Marino I've known for
a
long time. Just two good men, Kathleen.
That's right.
With a very good woman in yourself. So let me give you a blessing.
Thank you.
And I ask Almighty God to bless you as you grieve the loss of your nephew. I ask God to bless your whole family, and I ask God to bless your nephew with the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life.
Wow.
And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Until we meet again, my friend.
Amen. God bless you, Father Matt. Again. Bye now.
Bye now.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we'll be right back for another hour. Don't go away.